Last week, Randy told us about the suspenseful circumstances leading up to the final chapter of Ruth. And the big question that lingered with Ruth and Naomi was, will Boaz be their redeemer or Gael? There are two things that at stake to be redeemed: Elimelech's land and his family name. Obviously, Naomi and Ruth are much more concerned with redeeming the family name because that is how they will find rest. If Boaz marries Ruth, then she will have a kind husband to raise a family with, and Naomi will have the joy of children in her life again. They will no longer be two lonely widows struggling to survive. They will have a redeemer to take them under his wing and give them peace. In this devotion, I want to see the historical work of God through Boaz in redeeming Ruth and Naomi from a life of widowhood and poverty. When Ruth returned home from the threshing floor, Boaz went to the gate of the town to wait for the closer relative to pass by and offer him the chance to redeem Elimelech's possession and family. It says in Ruth 4:1, "And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down." When Boaz saw the nearer kinsman, he might have called him out by his name, but we never get to learn that man's name. Boaz also called for 10 elders in the city to serve as witnesses to their discussion. At first, Boaz only mentions the land involved, which obviously anyone who could afford it would jump at the chance to buy it. And that's what our nameless man does. It's a no-brainer. Buy the land, plant more crops, make back the money and the profit selling the crops, or keep them to feed himself. Either way, it's a good investment opportunity for him. But Boaz also points out a moral obligation to perpetuate Elimelech's family. Technically, there is no legal obligation to take Ruth as a wife and have a child for that family. There is not a true Levirate marriage involved, but the purpose of that law is still seen in this situation. And for someone to only redeem the land and leave Naomi and Ruth to fend for themselves would be heartless, and it would certainly be displeasing to God. The nearer kinsman sees that, and everyone in town knows about Ruth and Naomi. In fact, Ruth has built a reputation for herself as a virtuous woman. But this nameless man won't marry a Moabitess. One commentator wrote, "Ironically, his concern to protect his own name rather than committing to raise up heirs to the name of Elimelech led him to being left nameless." This man had the opportunity to marry Ruth, and God could have placed him in the lineage of David and the Messiah instead of Boaz. But with his concerns only focused on himself, he was left unnamed with his unmarred inheritance. As a cultural sign of the transaction, the nameless man took off his sandal and handed it to Boaz in front of the witnesses. The transfer of the sandal is a symbolic gesture of transferring the rights to the land and the inheritance. This eliminated the nameless man's opportunity to act as Gael and passed it to Boaz. He followed through on his promise to Ruth. He received the blessing of the elders of Bethlehem and fulfilled the role of kinsman redeemer. It says, "Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loves thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and she became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. Now, Randy mentioned last week the blessing that Boaz spoke to Ruth in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. He said, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full recompense and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And Ruth actually called back similar words to Boaz in chapter 3 and verse 9. "Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." The word that she used that was translated skirt is actually the same word that Boaz used for wings. She asked him to take her under his wing. She trusted him to take care of her just as she relied on the Lord God of Israel. And this is how the story closes out. When you take a complete overview of the story, you can see God working in each part of it, ultimately to use Boaz to redeem Ruth and Naomi, giving them a new family, restoring joy to Naomi, and providing a place of rest for Ruth. If you noticed earlier, I stopped reading in the middle of Ruth 4:17. That was intentional to leave a place for Randy to pick up next week with the genealogy at the end. And then in 2 weeks, I'll be back to talk about Jesus as our kinsman redeemer.